of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with another program of Bible Truth. This is based upon what the Word of God has to offer as we deal with timely topics for troubled times. We've been dealing with the things that God hath done, and on the broadcast last week, we talked about the great unity as was recorded in the fourth chapter of the Ephesian Epistle. We trust that this series of broadcasts can be a benefit to you and your entire family. And we trust that you're telling your friends and neighbors about the broadcast, and that you also will feel free to attend the Church of Christ that brings this program into your family circle. You'll find these brethren to be a friendly group of disciples, and even though you might be a stranger when you go through the door for the first time, I'm sure the friendliness that's found there in that assembly will want you to indeed return, and you'll have a desire to return to study God's Word. So we invite you, as we talk to you today, to feel free to come and bring your Bible and your entire family to the service of the Church of Christ. We are dealing with another wonderful subject, and I say it's wonderful because this deals with a great house, as the Bible pictures it in a very thought-provoking way. You know, I'm reading from the third chapter of 1 Timothy on the broadcast today, and Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the faith, and he's telling him in verse 14, "These things write I unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly." But now listen to the 15th verse. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." It's wonderful to note that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It is also the house of God, the church of the living God. You know, in Vacation Bible Study, we sing a song a number of times, and the song that we sing is Chapter and Verse is What We Want. And when we get to the final part of that song, we have the boys and girls hold up their Bible on the palm of their hand, and that's holding up the truth. And then we ask them what the arm represents in the diagram. It represents the church. The church, which is the body of Jesus Christ, holds up or supports the Word before the world. You see, the reason I know this to be true is because in the accountings that we have in the New Testament Scripture, we find that the Lord did add to the church daily such as should be saved. But keep this thought in mind. Christ had said before he went to heaven that the apostles were to go into all the world and they were to preach the gospel to every creature. The doctrine said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." That covers Mark 16, 15, and 16. But the interesting factor is that they never did go forth from Jerusalem to preach the gospel until after the church had its beginning. In fact, if you scrutinize the scriptures quite closely, in the 13th chapter of Acts, you will find that it was the congregation at Antioch in Syria that really sent Paul and Barnabas forth. Now, they were sent forth by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit actually came to members of the local congregation and said to them, "Separate Paul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I have called them." So we understand the church to be truly the house of God. Now, it had been forecast by Isaiah over 700 years before it became a reality that the Lord's house was going to be established in the top of the mountains. I want to point out to you that this was to take place in the last days. The mountain of the Lord's house was to be in the top, was to be established in the top of the mountains. It was to be exalted above the hills. All nations were going to flow into it, and the word of the Lord would go forth from Jerusalem. So you see, the mountain of the Lord's house indicates to us that the Lord had a government, that the Lord had a kingdom. And when you read the early days of Christianity, you'll find as each congregation of the Lord's church had its beginning, that there were elders who were ordained when they were qualified, elders or bishops, to oversee the spiritual activities of that local congregation. The next time you read that 13th and 14th chapters of Acts, which comprises the so-called first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul, you will note, as we've said, that in the 13th chapter, the congregation at Antioch in Syria did lay hands upon Paul and Barnabas, not to impart to them the Holy Spirit, but apparently to give them an indication of endorsement. They went forth. Historians say that first journey took about 3.5 years. But on that journey, in the 14th chapter of Acts, beginning in verse 21, it mentions about them preaching the gospel and teaching it. It also says in the 22nd verse that they were confirming the souls of the disciples, and it tells us that they exhorted them to continue in the faith. Then in the famous 23rd verse of that 14th chapter of Acts, after this process had been followed, they ordained elders in each congregation. So the point that I'm trying to bring out is that in the local congregation, which incidentally is the largest unit that we have in the Lord's church, there was an assembly in which brethren came together under the eldership of that congregation, and this truly became in that community known as the Lord's house. Now, Paul wants Timotheus to know that he has a special responsibility in connection with the Lord's house. After all, we can look upon the church or the Lord's house as a means that was devised by God where Christians would abide and where they would serve. You see, we're not talking about a physical building. We're not talking about a frame building, a block building, or a brick building. We're talking about that which is spiritual. We're talking about the body of Jesus Christ. You know, I spent time on the last broadcast in telling you that Jesus Christ gave his physical body upon the cross, but he purchased a spiritual body. Ephesians 5 and 25 says that he gave himself for the church. And again, the 20th chapter of Acts in verse 28 said he purchased the church with his own blood. So I'm wondering if you can look upon the church with me on the broadcast today as the Lord's house. It belongs to him. Now, this is one reason in the Church of Christ why we use that term, Church of Christ, because we believe that it belongs to Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying simply because someone would put the name Church of Christ upon a church building or on a tract or would say that I'm a member of the Church of Christ, that necessarily means that everything would necessarily be in harmony with God's will. We want to point out to you that we understand people are subject to mistake, but the Bible is true. But I believe that we're within a safe spiritual apostles' doctrine if we indeed do speak of the church as the body of Jesus Christ, and if we refer to it as the Church of Christ. You see, we're trying to use Bible terms, trying to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where it is silent. Now, someone may say, well, preacher, I believe that's a very small item. We understand that people from all different religious beliefs could consider themselves to be a part of the church. But may I point out to you in a very definite manner that the church is referred to as the body of Christ? Then this would imply in a very definite manner that Jesus has one body that we told you about before, one spiritual body. You see, the idea of people coming from all different persuasions saying all of these must be recognized as the spiritual body of Christ would indicate to us that we still have one head, which is Christ, but we have a multiplicity of bodies. And I am sure when we look at this circumstance, we can realize that the only way to reproduce what we're talking about on the broadcast today is simply to go back to what the Word of God has to offer. Occasionally, I relate to congregations and assemblies the story of an outstanding family that made up their mind that they were going to find out what the Bible taught about conversion and what it taught about the church. They were aware of the fact that the church was the Lord's house. They were aware of the fact that the church was the body of Jesus, but they wanted to find out what that body really looked like spiritually. So through a process of study in their own home in a small northern Missouri community, they actually were able to chart the course of what one did to become a Christian. They simply took the accounts of conversion and they listed them and found that a composite picture indicated that there were five things. There was a hearing, a believing, a repenting, a confessing of one's faith that he or she believed that Christ was the Son of God. And there was a baptism, one baptism, an immersion in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They understood that when one was baptized into Christ, then they put on Christ, which meant that they became a part of the spiritual body of Jesus. But then they wanted to find out what this spiritual body or this church looked like. So they studied the entire remainder of the New Testament and found that all of these epistles had something to do with the Lord's house, had something to do with the Lord's church. They found that the worship that was carried out by the early disciples, such as over at Troas in Acts 20 and 7, that the disciples came together upon the first day of the week to break bread. So they checked that off. That's what the church did upon the first day of the week. They also found that the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 gave as they were prospered upon the first day of the week. They found out that prayers were offered in the assembly, for in Acts 12 and 5, the church came together in the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark in Jerusalem, apparently to pray for the deliverance of the Apostle Peter. And that's the place where he came and knocked at the gate. The damsel went there, understood it was Peter's voice, came back in and told him, probably while they were praying, that Peter is outside. And they didn't believe her. They said, it's his ghost, it's his spirit. And he kept knocking, and they found out it was Peter. And we understand that singing was a part of the assembly. So they charted all of this and then attempted to find a group of disciples who really believed this to be true. They found this to be true, and this brother told me as he sat in the assembly, he was astonished to find that the things that were being done in that congregation were identical to what he had read in the Bible. Now, this doesn't mean that these people were above any mistake. This doesn't mean that they were saying that we have the answer, we are right, everybody else is wrong. It simply points to one thing, that these people had faith in God to understand that God and Jesus Christ are right, and the Bible is true. You see, many, many times if we have a human dogma, or if we have a religious group probably honestly meeting every so often, to actually vote upon what the church will believe. You see, this thing can alter, this thing can be changed. The Bible is perfect. Yes, it is spoken of as the perfect law of liberty in James 1 and 25. Again, Peter has said that it hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, as we have in 2 Peter 1 and 3. And again, the Apostle Paul has made it plain in Colossians 2 and 10, when he said, ye are complete in him. So our plea on this broadcast today is that the Lord does have a house. And that house is the church. It is the body of Jesus Christ. If you obey the gospel just as the Bible teaches, then the Lord will forgive your sins. He will add you to the church. You will be a part of this wonderful house that is spoken of here again by Paul as he wrote to Timotheus. Listen once again to 1 Timothy 3:15. If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It's a wonderful thing to realize that the church, the body of Christ, is holding up the truth before the world. And you know your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ believe this to be true. And that's one of the reasons why we want to sound the gospel out by means of radio. We trust coming not alone into your home, but also into your heart. Well, it's been good to be with you. If you have questions about this subject, the Great House, simply feel free to send them in. You might make mention that that was the subject you were asking about. We want to be with you again the next time. We trust you'll tell a friend or neighbor to join us. And as we open our Bible and look once again at timely topics for troubled times, I'm sure we'll be blessed. Now, as we leave you, we want to thank you again for listening. We trust that you will be in the house of the Lord, and we trust that you'll be with us again next time as we open the greatest book in the entire world, to know the truth that is able to make men free, free from sin, and free to live for Him.